small firm entrepreneur architects. Get ready to build a better business with the Entree Architect podcast, where business meets architecture. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, the host of Entree Architect podcast. Join me every week for inspiring interviews with passionate people that share proven strategies to help you build a better business.
If you think there is a problem, one, you can't make a move until you have a plan in place. The accountability chart really helps plan, okay, for the business 6 to 12 months out, this is what we need.
We cover it all, from financial management to marketing, sales, productivity, and beyond.
There's two sides of it, right? So there's the one when you don't have any work. So you're like, well, I'm either going to charge enough to be profitable or I'm going to go out of business. Or you have so much work and you have backlog and you don't need any more work. So you charge way more.
I'd also say lagging measures, one of the best, like the best. So for any client, for any professional service company, if you're going to take one thing away from what we're talking about today, is to look at a number called the labor efficiency ratio.
Entree Architect is not just a podcast. It's your secret weapon for success. With over 500 episodes, it's one of the longest running architecture podcasts in the world. You're sure to find the information you need to elevate your business. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now and join the community of small firm entrepreneur architects building better businesses.
But laugh at my corny jokes.
I will.
Hi, welcome to season 12 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season's theme is government, civic work, and urban planning. We are talking about ladies who were involved in public projects or services.
As always, we are not experts. We are just sharing stories about the information we find as friends having a fun conversation. If you find an error, send us an email and we will all continue learning together.
We're starting this season talking about Virginia Andreescu Harit, the first woman to become the Romanian Architectural Inspector General. If it sounds fancy, it's because it is. I'm Nurjeri Rivas. Getting the She Builds podcast logo tattooed on my arm today, April 1st, 2025, in Houston, Texas.
Hey there, and I'm Jessica Rogers, eating scrambled eggs while enjoying a thunderstorm in Miami, Florida.
And I'm Lizzie Rahr, on my way to get my tongue pierced in San Francisco.
Like every season, we have to start by saying thank you for being here, listening, and learning along with us. Thank you for tuning in and for your support.
Yes. Thank you so much, listeners, for sticking with us or joining us fresh.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to all. Thank you so much. And it's great to be back with another season and some more ladies and stories. Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. The time was June 21st, 1894. The place, Bucharest, Romania. Maria Virginia Andreescu was born.
Oh, Bucharest.
Yay, Maria.
Yay, Maria is right. But apparently, she went by her middle name. So from now on, we're going to call her Virginia.
Yay, Virginia.
Okay.
Could not find her parents' names, only that she had three younger siblings whose names I cannot tell you either. But we do know that her uncle was the painter Ion Andreescu.
Oh. Ion was an impressionist painter who went to Paris and rubbed elbows with folks like one of my faves, Claude Monet, and others like Millet and Renoir.
Ooh, and we know who those are, Renoir and Monet.
Since I could not find her parents' names or much info on them, we're going to settle on info about Uncle Ion and grandparents Andrei and Anastasia. Virginia's paternal grandparents were Andrei Dobrescu and Anastasia Penkovico. Andrei was a merchant and owned an inn.
Wait, why are the last names different from Ion and Virginia?
So I noticed that too. So of course, I went chasing many waterfalls. Okay. Back in the day, before the 19th century, people in Romania were named, like, name, mm-hmm. father's name, grandfather's name. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Elizabeth Dale Dale.
Elizabeth Dale Dale is a funny name. And my brother would be Dale Dale Dale.
Oh, my gosh.
But then in the 19th century, they started westernizing the names. So it would be name, father's last name. Like it is today, basically, honestly.
Yeah.
Sure.
When this practice started, some families would make the last name be the father's name with a particular suffix. Mm. For example, Escu, which would mean child. So for example, Andrescu, meaning Andres child. Get it?
Yeah, I wondered if that's what was happening. There are different examples of this in other cultures, which I feel like we've mentioned on other episodes. Can't remember which episodes right now, but even names like Johnson are rooted in that, right? Son of John would have been to like trace the lineage through the last name.
Right.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If this was still done today, my name would be Nurgeri Jerescu. It has a different ring than Nurgeri Rivas. I think I'll stick to Rivas. What would your names be?
As mentioned before, but altered, Elizabeth Delescu.
Yeah. Jessica Geraldescu. Totally different vibe. Don't know if I like it.
Well, thank goodness for common naming practices.
Yeah.
Well, back to Virginia. All I could find on her actual parents was that her mom or both parents passed away when she was 9. And she had to start taking care of her siblings.
Oh, my goodness. So this is how we are starting.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's terrible and tough.
Yeah.
Yes. Tragic start. Fast forward to 1912. She graduated from the Mihai Vitezul High School. The same year, she was like, architecture school? Here I come. But of course, people were like, a woman? Architecture school? I don't think so.
And now this nonsense begins.
Ugh, what a racket.
So the Minister of Education had to step in. Enter Mr. Spiru Herit.
All right. I'm also flagging that this is her other last name. Is this man going to make her architecture dreams come true and sweep her off her feet?
Ooh, I didn't even catch that. Ooh, insert eye emoji. Look at it.
You clocked that. Well, you're going to have to stick around to find out what happens.
Ooh, what a tease.
Well, I guess before we get into the man's love life, let's learn a little bit about him, shall we? This guy was really interesting. He was a math whiz. He studied physics. He's the first Romanian to obtain a PhD in Paris. When he came back to Bucharest as this accomplished scholar, he was all about transforming Romanian education as a professor and as a politician. He was the Minister of Education under the tenure of 3 separate governments.
Whoa.
And he was credited for building the modern Romanian education system. So definitely a good person to know.
Yeah, got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Spiru was reforming left and right. He said, let the lady in. And she got into the Superior School of Architecture in 1912.
Yeah, Spiru for the win.
Okay, we're in Europe. Who can guess what's about to happen?
Oh, no.
World War I.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Virginia took a break from school to serve in the war as a nurse.
Oh, wow. Okay, good for her.
Oh, yeah. You go, girl.
Not sure for how long Virginia served, but eventually she went back to school and she graduated from architecture school in 1919. Some sources called her the first, others the second.
Oh, so who's allegedly the first?
Mm.
That would be Ada Saganescu. When I looked into her, I found her diploma was dated September 15, 1919. Same year as Virginia.
Oh. Mm. photo finish vibes going on. Okay, so maybe it was too close to call on who is first, but I do love that there are two ladies graduating at the same time when it took the Minister of Education to let ladies into the school, you know?
Yeah, that is true. I want to say that maybe Ada was first because they called her name first alphabetically during graduation with her first name. Or maybe she was the first in line when the diplomas were made. But hey, like Lizzie said, it's just great to see two women graduate.
Well, another source says that Virginia received her diploma on July 16, 1919.
Oh.
So, if these dates hold water, Virginia would be the first.
Ooh, photo finish results are in.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
Mm-hmm. Who knows who's right? But no matter what, Virginia was definitely one of the first women to graduate from architecture school and a pioneer along with Ada. And if that's not impressive enough, let's add on to that that Virginia got the highest distinction award. Very good. That's the award. Very good.
That's the high award of highest distinction?
Yes.
I wonder if regular distinction is like, all right. You get a diploma, you're okay.
Like, what?
Do better.
You made it.
I mean, good for her, but what? Oh.
Very good.
This is a really serious crowd if the highest distinction is very good. More realist. Us Americans over here would throw some exaggerated words down like excellent, outstanding.
Outstanding exactly. Participation.
Somehow this lady had time to be very good, aka the best in architecture school, and to attend the Academy of Fine Arts, studying under Hippolyte Strambu.
Ooh, Hippolyte was a well-known Romanian painter who was known for painting portraits of women. Sounds like she was studying under some quality folks.
Ooh, love to see it.
Y'all, Virginia's art was so good that in 1920, her professor, Hippolyte, organized an exhibit of her work. It included over 60 pieces in various mediums, drawings, watercolors. People really liked them. The Historical Monuments Commission bought 28 of them for permanent display. The Academy of Fine Arts bought others.
Whoa, that's so cool.
OMG. That is so impressive. Also, side note, in art school, I had to do something by the end of the semester or by the end of the school year. I had to do a certain amount of like portraits. And I can tell you right now, like a good, I don't know, 40% of them were not great. I was just trying to make my quota. So the fact that she was able to do, which I believe is more than what I had to do, and that this like group bought a chunk of them, impressive. Impressive.
I looked for images of this and could not find them. So we will have to imagine what these look like.
Okay.
Or maybe we'll just have to go and see them in person.
Good idea.
In 1922, she went on a study trip. She wanted to learn more about architecture abroad. So she traveled to the countries we know today as Slovenia, Serbia, and Croatia. Lizzie, you recently went to some of these countries, right? How would you describe their architecture?
Yeah, I went to Slovenia and Croatia. Croatia definitely has influences from Italy in their architecture because they're right across the sea from it. And the Venetians were big players, like with Croatia, historically. Slovenia has more of an alpine feel to it because it's just south of Austria. The capital of Ljubljana is more Baroque style. It kind of feels like Munich or Vienna. Serbia, I cannot speak to.
Okay, so we'll all have to go to Serbia together.
Correct.
Sounds good. Well, I'd be very curious to know how architecture has evolved in these places from the 1920s to now. But that will have to be researched for another day. Once Virginia got back home, she wrote a report which got published in the magazine Fine Arts, and she was able to make a bit of money.
Ooh, nice. Way to make that money, Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia is living the dream.
With that money she earned from her exhibition and the magazines, she was like, Roman holiday, baby. I mean, study trip.
Oh, I see.
Here I come. She went to work, wink, wink, and study with archaeologists to learn about early European building methods and traditional structures.
Buon viaggio.
Okay, archaeologists?
Yeah, because hanging with architects and artists was getting old. She made friends with some new folk. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so she's done with Rome. She's done with archaeologists. Let's go back to Romania. But before that, okay, let's go back to Romania. To set the stage, the architectural scene is going through a phase during this time in Bucharest. The popular style was harmonious, neoclassical, Byzantine, but also included neo-Romanian features to appeal to national union. And thus, Virginia's architectural style was varied.
What a mouthful.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And thus, her architectural style was varied.
Like, sincerely.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Drawing from the current context as well as all her previous studies, travels, and her art foundation, her designs exhibited many styles, from Romanian classical all the way to modern. She designed her own home to be more art deco. Mm.
You know, after all of my travels, I wondered what my style would be. From the sounds of Virginia, I thought her style would be more of an architectural outlet collage hodgepodge form from what you like mentioned earlier.
Well, like she had a lot of varied projects, but she didn't put all the styles into one project all the time.
Yeah. But I like that after that she landed on a particular style. She was like, this is the one for me, you know?
Yeah.
When she gets back to Romania in 1922, she gets a commission to complete the Cantacuzino block from the corner of Calea Vittorie and Frumoasa, a project that was started by the architect Ion Mincu.
Oh, so she designed a whole city block?
Good question. I am not sure, actually. From the information I was reading and pictures, I understood it to be a large block of housing in a corner. So lots of facade real estate.
Ooh, okay, I gotcha.
She also began working at the Ministry of Technical Education or the Technical Service of the Ministry of Public Instruction, depending on the translation that you read.
Mm, but it's all very cool.
Mm-hmm. Today, it's called the Ministry of National Education and Scientific Research of Romania. As an architect, Virginia was hired to work in the school's construction sector under the chief architect, Ion Pompilian, who was also a professor at the School of Architecture. She didn't waste any time exhibiting her talent and work ethic. And just like that, she became Ion's right-hand woman. She was responsible for the design and construction of countless projects throughout her career, notably Gheorghe Incai High School and a wing of Cantemir Voda National College.
That's right, Virginia. Do your thing, chicken wang.
Woo! I love that she worked her way up to such an integral position.
Mm-hmm.
Alongside Ion Pompilian, she worked on projects that were not always schools. They did a lot of things together.
Work, 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 work.
Well, she wasn't all work, 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 work. She made time for love. Y'all remember the guy that advocated for her to be able to go to school?
Yeah, I do. Been waiting on pins and needles over here.
Yeah, enough with the teasing.
Yeah, I couldn't find evidence of this, but I mean, the dude was the Minister of Education, so he must have been like her top boss when she was in that government job. I have a feeling that they kept in touch. I would, if I were him, I'd want to know this person that I stuck my neck out for to go into college if she's doing all right.
Obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe they hung out sometimes. Who knows? Somewhere, somehow, she met his relative. Some sources say son, others say grandson, others say nephew. At She Builds Podcast, we're going to say relative. She met the relative, Spiro I. Harrit. Sparks flew. In 1928, they were married.
A twist!
That would have been a huge, like, age gap and a little weird, though, if it was, like...
We've seen weirder things happen, though. Listen.
I know, we've seen worse, but I'm relieved. Yay, relative.
Okay, but a twist. He was the intro. Okay. But I also love that he might be the son, grandson, or nephew of this other guy. Okay, but also, his name is also Spiro?
It is!
What?
That's why, I mean, who knows, son, nephew, grandson. This younger Spiro was an engineer, and word on the street is that he and Virginia collaborated on projects. Power couple alert.
Wee, wee.
Ay, 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 ay. Sound that was. I don't know.
A year later, Virginia and her hubby had one kid, Radu, who grew up to be an engineer too. As an adult, he also worked on saving, publishing, and exposing more information on his mom's legacy. Hashtag proud son.
All in the family. And I love that he wanted to promote her achievements.
Yeah, I love these names, Spiro, Radu, and agreed. Oh, we love some documentation over here, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Speaking of exposure, one project of hers has a whole website dedicated to it, the Govora Casino. She began working on it in 1928, kind of early in her career. She finished the design and CDs by 1929. It's described as a beautiful casino in an eclectic architectural style, blending elements from different periods while keeping a cohesive look with neutral colors and unique textures.
Oh, I'm going to have to check out that website. Sounds like she did a great job of blending the different styles together.
Yeah, because we know her style was architecturally varied. And I'm curious to see how those all gel together because there's so many styles.
Yeah.
The building was planned to have two symmetrical wings, one for the Grand Theater and another for a casino.
Mm, love it.
In an unfortunate turn of events, the theater was never built and the casino remains just a concept. The project went through a lot. Banks went out of business, funds ran out, World War II happened. So construction started, but was never quite finished. For a while, part of the building that was built was used as a cinema.
Sad.
Oh my goodness, what a whirlwind. And very sad. We don't really hear about casinos getting designed and built on the show.
That's true. We need more casino projects.
Mm-hmm.
Today, the building stands in Govora's Central Park and is a part of the historic buildings list. But it's not being preserved, and it just houses an abandoned cinema.
Oh, that's such a bummer. Well, I'm glad it's at least on the historic register, but sad that it's not being used or restored.
Yeah.
At some point in her career, she again made history, becoming the first woman to receive the post, Romanian Architectural Inspector General.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, go Virginia. Okay, what does the Architectural Inspector General do? That title sounds hella fancy and official.
Yeah.
As Inspector General, Virginia would have been in charge of all building inspectors and of reviewing constructions, plans, permits, building codes, and all that jazz.
Oh, that's a legit job. Way to be in charge, Virginia.
Yeah. That sounds like a very important job. Sorry, that's going to be my theme for this episode. Very good. Very important.
She represented Romania at several international conferences and congresses in Brussels, Moscow, Paris, and Rome, to name a few.
World traveler.
Most sources mentioned she received many awards for her designs, though I could not find which ones or for which projects, sadly.
Bummer. But I'm glad the people knew what was up, you know?
Yeah, because either way, we knew that she was award-worthy, okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she was. According to sources, Virginia was a writer too. She wrote a history of architecture with Nicolae Ghica Budesti in 4 volumes with watercolors. So, can you imagine something so pretty? But unfortunately, they don't mention the name of the book, and I could not find any concrete information about it. So for me, the jury is still out there if the book got published.
OMG. What didn't she do? A 4-volume book. Like, that's a lot.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds lovely with the watercolors. I wish we could find it. I want to see them.
Yeah. Also, this is a book of architectural history. Like, we need this book. Like, that's a business expense for us.
So true.
I agree. We need this book.
We need it.
If I find it, I'll let you know. Romanian listeners, help us out. Send us an email if you know of this book.
Yes, please. And you can help us with our pronunciations, too.
Yes, I need help. While she worked her whole career with the government, she also had side projects. She designed many private and residential spaces.
Of course she did.
Okay, side quests.
Mm-hmm. She retired from the Ministry of Technical Education in 1947. I hope that she enjoyed retirement. Got to travel, do light sports, play a little bingo, maybe some little pickleball back then, until she passed away on May 6, 1962 in Bucharest.
Mm. Yeah, I hope she had time for herself to do some fun things. But wow, she really did a lot. And it's really cool that she ended up being the big cheese of Romanian building.
Yeah, I mean, and with that 15 year of like, from retirement to when she passed away. I hope, and I'm sure she did a lot of things. And her story was fascinating, so she should be very proud of everything that she was able to accomplish.
She should.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good career. All right, now we have reached the second part of our episode, the Caryatid. A caryatid is a stone carving of a woman used as a column or a pillar to support the structure of a Greek or Greek-style building. In each episode, we choose a caryatid, a woman who is working today, furthering the profession through their work, and who ties into the historical woman of our episode. Drum roll, please. Kimberly Norman Rosedam. Kimberly Norman Rosedam is the first Black woman to be licensed as a building official and to run a building department in Connecticut and throughout New England. Amazing.
That's awesome.
Kimberly has done it all. She was a commissioner on the Zoning Board of Appeals, worked for the city of Stamford, Connecticut, as a construction inspector and senior site superintendent. Now she is Guilford, Connecticut's building official.
Love this. Working her way up.
Mm-hmm.
As the town's building official, she's responsible for planning, directing, and managing building inspections activities. Sounds familiar?
Yes, ma'am. Sounds like our girl Virginia. Big cheese energy.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Mm-hmm. Very good career.
If that's not enough, Kimberly is also a certified residential building inspector, real estate salesperson, state home improvement contractor, and a lead renovation, repair, and painting contractor. It's in her DNA. She's a third-generation contractor and site supervisor. Her daddy-o has a GC firm called Rose Construction Company.
Oh, okay, Kimberly. Just a few casual extras on the side.
Side quests on side quests on side quests. She does it all.
Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
We hope you enjoyed learning about today's lady and Caryatid along with our banter, and that you are inspired to find out more about them and other amazing professional ladies.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, colleagues, sisters, and brothers, and tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify, and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate. Or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GableMedia.com.
We're excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com, leave a comment on our website at shebuildspodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at shebuildspodcast and on X at shebuildspod. Until then, see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
That would be Ada San...
Zaganescu.
Zaganescu.
What should I do?
Just say it again.
Okay.
Are you NCARB certified yet? Join the network of over 45,000 architects who have the NCARB certificate to expand your professional reach.
By becoming NCARB certified, like I did, you are demonstrating that you've met the national standards for licensure, a qualification that can be an important factor for firms when hiring and promoting. Certificate holders have a streamlined path to apply for a reciprocal license in all 55 U.S. jurisdictions, as well as access to an extensive library of free continuing education courses.
Learn more at ncarb.org.